5 o'clock or a wee bit more.
We're kind of like a broadcasting accident looking for somewhere to happen.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
Occasionally, we might even talk about something that matters.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros here. I'm Rob. Big Sook's
right
over there.
Right here. I was thinking about like the scariest thing that like a street man could be holding.
Look at him.
You know, because the street man there beat the dude with a hammer.
Yeah.
And while the hammer and like the machete are an obvious like, oh my God, like I'm about to get clubbed by a street man, I was trying to think of something that would scare me equally but wouldn't necessarily be a threat, and I think mannequin is high on that list.
Really?
Some sort of doll.
Like he was just carrying a mannequin?
Yeah. Like any, and really, like, I'm not certain which would be scarier, carrying a mannequin head or carrying a mannequin without a head. But let's say I'm walking down the street and there's a street man there and he's just like spooning a headless mannequin. I think I'm crossing the street. I think at that point, it's you know, we...
I think that's required.
We're going to be on this other side.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you.
There's certain things that you got to... I'm not blaming the guy that got hit with the hammer, but you've got to have some self-awareness here about when it's okay to just avoid the situation entirely. Maybe take the long way around. Just saying.
All right, coming up here, we have the single best uniform matchup of the 2025 NFL season. I have to tell you about that.
Well, it better involve one team that just revealed theirs because it's the best look in all of football, in my humble opinion.
Well, maybe it does. Damian Lillard is returning to Portland. We gave many, 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 many thoughts on that.
Oh, the takes were
yeah, they were sizzling,
scalding hot
earlier in the show. Now, we do podcast this show.
Yeah, you can go back and listen.
You can go back and listen, but we're going to give some more hot takes on that.
Can't wait.
I mean, it's universally loved move. Like, I can't think of another move that... Like, no, you just can't really criticize that move.
No, and it's cheap. He's a
think of another move that anybody, that somebody, that a team did that was just like, oh, dude.
Yeah, it's
impossible to criticize.
No, it's an absolute slam dunk. Now, what sort of benefits it will reap, who knows, on the floor, but right.
This exactly.
This is a universally beloved no-brainer, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
That's another element of this move. It's like it kind of doesn't even matter about basketball.
No, I think
people just wanted him back.
It is kind of an ancillary piece to this, right? Like, I'm not saying that this is a meaningless sort of basketball thing. Before Damian Lillard got hurt, he was averaging 25 and was having a nice year for Milwaukee.
Could be good, but it kind of doesn't make sense. They already have Jrue Holiday.
No, it's a little weird, like, and what? Everyone else is really young. So, like, again, what sort of Lillard do you get at 36 coming off an Achilles tear, 75-80% of him? You know, again, regardless of what happens there, this is a great move for a city and a team that needs some W's and needs some people to pay attention to it. And you're paying him $14 million a year on a mid-level exception because Milwaukee's paying this. It rights the wrong. They've buried the beef. Him and Cronin met weeks ago at Lillard's house. It puts the best community leader we've had in this city in 20 years back in the city, and he didn't want to leave in the first place. This just rights a lot of wrongs. And then whatever happens on the basketball side, you know, like you said, it's a cherry on top. Because let's be honest. Does anyone think in the next 3 years Portland's playing for a Western Conference or an NBA championship? No. Does this get you any closer to that? Maybe a little bit, but it's not putting you over the top. It didn't make Milwaukee a contender, and it's not going to make Portland a contender, but maybe it helps the development. Maybe it speeds up some of the young guys, and at bare minimum, you get to watch a top three Blazer of all time retire a Blazer and kind of have some nice twilight moments here while mentoring some of the youngs.
You know what the one question I would ask Joe Cronin is?
What you got?
If he were in this room, What did you and Damian Lillard drink at his house?
That's a good question.
When you were talking? Because I'm guessing it's red wine.
Oh.
But
is Lillard a wine guy?
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, CJ was.
A lot of NBA guys are.
Is celebratory? I'm not.
Well, but that's not celebratory. I think that's
we're just talking.
When they're hashing that stuff out, wine is a good, serious drink to hash stuff out over.
That is true.
Because you don't want to go straight to the fun party cocktails.
Yeah. And it's not bubble time yet. That's where
exactly.
Afterwards.
Yeah, right. Red wine is, it means, hey, let's get serious here.
I like it.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I think where you're going with that. And I'm sure Dame had a nice bottle somewhere. It's at his house.
Oh, for sure.
You know, or does
they're sitting out back.
Or does Cronin bring the nice bottle?
I think he should, if he's smart.
He shows up with a bottle of Camus and is like, all right, we're going to do this. And
maybe that's what did it.
Ooh, I like it. Maybe a nice silver
Dame's
oak,
like, oh my God, how could I not come back after that bottle of wine? Thanks, Joe. All right, well, anyway, yeah, Lillard coming back. 3 years, $42 million. He'll double dip, but won't play until 2026. Okay.
Yeah, combined salary over the next 2 years, $141 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And the Blazers only have to pay 28 of it. I mean, it's a, more it's, than it's a sweetheart of a deal.
Coming up in the club tonight, more on the death of Felix Baumgartner, RIP to greatness. And we've got to talk about the Dumbotron people.
Wow.
Boy, this story is...
Of all the ways you can ruin your life...
Yeah. Well, listen. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. Look.
There's a lot to unpack.
This is a meaty story.
Yeah, it is.
And it's the couple who was caught at a Coldplay concert by the just the camera just panning the crowd. Yeah. They were embracing. The guy immediately ducks. And she covers her face because, well, they were cheating on their spouses.
Can we, again?
Right there on the Jumbotron.
Much like we had a conversation with the guy on the street when he saw the streetman coming with the hammer, just cross the street. What, do you really think that by hiding on the, like, no one saw you, you're making it worse?
Well, we'll talk about it. That'll be in the club. Coming up next, let's get to the Open. I'll tell you what's going on there. We did have a fart controversy.
It's always fun.
In Royal, well, what's the name of the town? I don't even know. Is it Royal
Port Rush?
Is it Royal Port Rush?
Well,
is
I'm saying if the course is Royal Port Rush, maybe the town is just Port Rush Island.
That would be my guess.
Well, we had fart controversy involving Scotty Scheffler.
Well, that Bushmills you've been drinking.
So that is next on The Fan. Okay, now to a real sport, golf. The Open round one has concluded.
And we did find out, is it indeed in Portrush, Ireland?
Yeah, that,
well, Northern Ireland.
Northern, yeah, that's the town, yeah. Portrush. And Royal Portrush is the course. Cool course. Eventful day, but a lot of guys well under par. Let me pull it up here on The Fan Sports Talk.
Four under the tie, actually from like what, six guys, I think?
Is there six?
There's a bunch. One, two, three,
yeah,
four.
Yeah, there are, aren't there?
Yeah.
So you've got, now, stop me if this gets too sexy.
Can't wait.
You have Christian Bezuidenhout.
Wow.
Harris English, who I know you love.
You had me at Harris English.
Jacob Skove Olsen.
Dude, stop it. You're getting my sports pants too tight.
Hao Tong Lee.
Love me some Hao Tong Lee.
Did I say Matthew Fitzpatrick? I don't know if I did.
I don't think you did.
Those guys are all four under. So five guys are four under. Mm. Those five dudes. Okay.
You forgot one.
One American. Who did I miss?
Jacob.
No, I said him. Thank you for paying attention.
I didn't hear that.
And then three under, you've got four guys. Mm. Tyrrell Hatton, Scotty Scheffler, Matthew Jordan, and Saddam Kawakanjananana. Kawakanjana. He is a Buddhist monk.
Really?
Yes.
When you click on him, he doesn't even show his little picture there. Never heard of him.
Well, he shot a 68.
A buttery 68. Ricky Fowler's up there, right, too, I think.
Lee Westwood sighting. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, Lee Westwood's still playing?
Yeah.
He's two under. Ricky Fowler, two under. A lot of guys under par. Phil Mickelson, one under. John Rahm, one under. Shane Lowry, one under. Blah, blah. Sergio Garcia, one under. Rory McIlroy, one under. Tony Finau, one under. So you got a lot of dudes who went under par today.
Didn't Rahm yell at someone, too?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think Rahm had some sort of...
it would be on brand for him.
Yeah, he was yelling at a fan or something. I saw a clip online.
He's such a hothead.
He tried to downplay it. He called it a terse interaction with a fan. During the Open.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it was the dude was like whistling or something. Yeah. So can't have any. This goes back to my thing. Dude, you're John Rahm. You can't handle someone whistling.
John Rahm downplayed a terse interaction with a fan during the first round of the Open Championship, crediting the situation to unfortunate timing and his ensuing reaction to frustration. He was playing the 10th. par 4 10th. When he sent his approach shot into the right rough, he immediately turned to a spectator who had made a whistling noise during his backswing. He says, "Really? Whistling? Right. Great time. Right on my backswing. Very smart, whoever it was."
For God's sakes.
Rahm would go on to bogey the hole.
Come on, Rahmer. You couldn't handle someone whistling. I'm whistling a nice little tune.
He says, "If I were to paint a picture, you have the hardest tee shot on the course. It's raining, into the wind, off the left. It's enough. I know they're not doing it on purpose. It just seemed like somebody trying to get a hold of someone for whatever it is. It was just bad timing. I think I just used the moment to let out any tension I had in me."
Yeah. Lighten up. Lighten up.
He says, "To be honest, it probably didn't affect as much as I make it sound like." Mm. It was a bad swing. Just a difficult hole. I mean, it's frustrating. And look, I hate this course. It sucks. I'm quitting.
Pretty much.
That's what he said.
And then he went in and Wyndham Clark did. He kicked open a locker.
Yeah. Windy.
Kick him off the tour. I looked up that Saddam guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a Buddhist monk, right?
He took a break from golf.
Yeah. They showed a picture of him doing his monk thing.
He's 27 years old and he took a hiatus from golf in 2023 and he lived as a Buddhist monk and practiced meditation.
Where was he?
He's in Thailand.
Thailand. Okay.
He's Thai. He said, "I was cut off from the rest of the world when he was ordained. They made me feel more calm, and I was able to concentrate more, which helped me improve my game of golf."
How about that?
Yeah.
We all need, I mean, I just think, I don't know how much you know about the teachings of Buddha, but there's a lot of stuff in there that could help you in golf, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a break from my life for a year to go over and become a monk.
Got to immerse.
More power to you.
By the way, the other guy that you should know about that's playing in this tournament that's kind of interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, we mentioned him last week, but he's the former gang, he's the convict.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
The Australian dude? Is that where he's from?
He's from Perth, and he's a gang member.
He did hard time.
He did.
Or was. Is he still?
No, not anymore.
He's out.
Well, so I read about him today. Do you want his story real quick?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Catch people up.
So his name is Ryan Peak. He shot a 6-over-77 today, okay. So did not play well.
Not great.
But he's probably the most unlikely golfer to ever play a major. He's a former convict. He was a really lovable kid, big junior golf champion from Perth, Australia.
Yeah, he's a big boy with big old mustache. And
by the time he was 17, he was competing against the pros, but he said that when he was at that age, all the pros were old guys. He was the only kid, and he would, like, kids at school would tease him. They'd be like, "Golf is stupid. What are you doing? You're hanging out with a bunch of olds. You're, you know, whatever." And he said, it, like, he got bullied.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where he was so lonely playing golf because he was a good player. At 17, he starts going to these neighborhood get-togethers of a bike gang called the Rebels. And they were hanging out in his neighborhood. And he'd go over there and they took him in.
Yeah.
And he said, "You know, golf is so isolating. The one thing I loved about this is it was like
family.
Brotherhood."
Yeah.
And so he said he was basically living two lives. Nobody knew he was hanging out with the biker gang. So he turns pro at 19, but he doesn't practice much. He's a little wayward, you know, and he admits he was very self-destructive.
Well, to be fair, when you're in a biker gang, you know, sometimes it's hard to break away from practice.
Right.
You're busy being a gang ruffian. Thing.
Yeah, so he fails at Q school, even though he was really talented golfer. He loses his golf clubs, and he said, he couldn't find his clubs, literally couldn't find them. He's like, "I knew that was it." He goes into a deep depression. He feels like he's let everyone down. He starts drinking a ton. He goes from 200 pounds to 300 pounds. The gang initiates him at age 21. He says it's the only thing that made him feel like he belonged. He gets wind of a guy in his neighborhood who threatened the rebels, and we can't have that.
No.
He and another guy went over to the house, kicked the crap out of that guy. He gets 5 years for assault. He goes to an overcrowded maximum security prison. Apparently, the conditions were awful. It was horrific there. But he starts to lift weights. He gets his mind right. He even gets he gives golf instruction to some of the inmates. Mm-hmm. He writes apology letters to a bunch of people, including his golf coach, who wrote him back. And the only thing he put on his letter back was his phone number. So he said it's the toughest call he's ever had to make. But he calls the coach. The coach says, "When you get out, we're gonna try again." And he goes, "No way! I mean, like, what? I'm in prison, dude. I'm not gonna go play any more golf." He said, "Nope. When you get out, we're gonna try again." And he said now he has to go tell the biker gang that he's leaving the gang to go play golf.
Which can be a little nerve-wracking. Yeah,
he said that was even more nerve-wracking than the phone call.
Yeah.
But apparently they were really cool about it, and they're like, "Hey, we love you, man," and whatever.
Yeah.
So he leaves That prison, he has a good record in prison, so they transfer him to a minimum security prison. So the final year of his time, he's allowed to hit balls every day. He hits balls, he practices, he gets out. This is pre-COVID, 2019, he gets out. He has, and he said that he was so great at golf instantly because the coach made him practice. But he was great at it because he had no fear. He was just happy to have gotten a second chance. He was like, I don't care, it's just golf.
Yeah.
So he just went out and played, and he played great. He wins the New Zealand Open, and he qualifies for the British Open.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
And like I said, he's all covered in like gang cats. And,
yeah.
You know.
Apparently he's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
I will say that the broadcast is doing a weird thing where I feel like they don't want to highlight him.
Because
he's a, you know.
Sure. Well, he did fracture someone's skull and
exactly.
Near kill him.
Yeah.
Well, and I saw a thing where he said he was very lucky that the guy didn't die.
He is.
I mean, they beat him. They fractured his skull in multiple places, and luckily the guy made a recovery. Otherwise, he'd probably be spending the rest of his life
in
prison.
And by the way, he took the fall for it.
Yeah.
Nobody else went to prison.
Nope, just him.
He covered up for the guy who went with him.
Yeah.
At any rate, that guy shot a 77. His name's Ryan Peek. Yeah. Scotty Scheffler won off the lead, but did he fart? Who farted? Here's the audio.
I love Fartgate.
I mean, this is a great view of it here because so far above the green, downwind you can get onto this green, but Scheffler.
Great shot.
What are you laughing about? There's so much to say about that shot. It's so off the cuff face. It's extraordinary. Let's stick to the golf.
Extraordinary.
Just a little bit of wind from behind.
Here it is again.
Just helps it ease down the green. There's an echo as well. What a shot from Scheffler.
Just a little bit of wind.
On his tee shot in the 16th.
I like that the broadcast...
They rolled with it.
Yeah. They loved it.
Well, the one guy was like, wanted to talk about it, and he was chuckling. The other guy's like, let's stick to golf. Because he saw the look on the guy's face, and he's like, we're not going to do this. And you
so apparently it was a fan.
It was a fan?
Yeah, it wasn't Scheffler.
Oh, okay. A lot of people were saying Scotty Scheffler has diarrhea. Oh, I thought it was maybe Scotty.
No, that would have been cool. Hmm. But do you think he would have copped to it if it were him?
I would like to. I mean...
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
What else you going to do? You going to deny it, Scotty?
Well, anyway, he shot a 68, having only hit three fairways.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
That was the first time that had been done in like 25 years of the Open.
Well, and look out, because he's going to hit more than three fairways. So if he plays the rest of the tournament like this, was he two back or one back?
He's one back.
One back, and had an awful day spraying the ball around off the tee. Buckle up. This could
I'll tell you what.
This could be Scotty.
You got a lot of bros who are right there, and I think it's going to get good.
Yeah.
Real good.
And we'll see you again what the weather does. And
I'm kind of rooting for the monk, though.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to win it, but,
no.
You know.
I don't know, man. Maybe he found some inner enlightenment there. You know, you live for for a year as a monk. Maybe the British Open offers...
This is the secret.
Yeah, offers nothing.
Perhaps then, all of a sudden, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, they're all monks. They all go to Thailand.
Dustin Johnson's not going to do that.
Well, no, he doesn't. He's not even at this.
He's pretty chill, though.
Is he at this tournament?
Yeah, DJ's in it.
He is? What'd he fire today?
I don't know.
Fire away, big boy. I'll see if I can find it here.
Goober.
Well, I mean, I suppose you do that for a year. If you can handle the isolation, I mean, get a chance to decompress a little bit.
DJ fired a 2/73.
All right. Not so bad.
Not horrible. Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, shot a 78.
Oh, well, and remember yesterday when we were talking about like making the bets, there were a ton of people that were like, fade Bryson, because he actually had good odds to win the whole thing. And every expert that I read was like,
the course is not his,
does not set up for him.
It's not his style.
No.
Okay. What's cool is that, and I did catch the first tee shot last night. I want you to know that.
Did you really?
10:30-ish. Hmm.
I didn't have freaking Peacock, so I had to poke around for a buddy's login, and then I logged in around 10:45.
You missed it.
I did. Missed the
I fell asleep shortly thereafter, but it's just kind of cool to get more late-night golf and early morning sports.
Yeah. I think I was sitting at Tom's last night about that time, having an odd cocktail, if you will. I don't know if you've ever been to Tom's, but interesting place.
Coming up next, the single best uniform matchup of the 2025 season. Here's Buck. All right, buckle up, baby.
What am I buckling for? Young Hansen?
That's what you're buckling up for. BWER beer. They playing tonight?
It's right on, right behind you.
Oh, yes. Yeah? Who's winning?
13-8, Houston.
All 8 from Young?
I would think so. Dude, yeah, Young Hansen mania has swept over Portland.
Not just Portland, dude. I read a story from a national writer who's already calling him the hidden gem of the draft.
Yeah, dude, we're over our skis. Like, no offense. I mean, look, clearly when you watch him play, the guy's got something. But I would like to point out that Ryan Rupert is having a much better summer league than him.
Is he?
Yeah, Ryan Rupert has been really good.
The Blazers still have Ryan Rupert.
Yeah, well, one game was bad, but he's been their best player. And can we just... I mean, he's averaging like, it's like
12.
12. Like, it's
and he can't rebound.
It's 12 points in summer league. He gets a lot of fouls.
He's 7-1 and he doesn't rebound.
He can't rebound. He can't really play anything other than help defense.
Now, what people have said to push back is that he actually does quite a bit of boxing out and allows the guards around him to go get the rebounds.
But my God, like, there is a lot to like. And like, as you said, you can see why people are excited.
Good highlight reel.
But boy, we are setting ourselves up for a... Dude, he is going to get cooked playing defense in the NBA, and people are going to be like, what the hell? It's summer league, and he's not dominating summer league. You just see some of the flashes, but...
Well, he's like 12.
He's 20.
Oh, 20. That's young.
There's a lot of guys in the league that are 20
That's
years
young.
Old. So, what's interesting, though, is
Touché.
That... When Lillard comes back, is Lillard not the most popular Blazer? It's going to be Young Hansen.
Move over, Lillard.
Ah, dude, there's a new,
it's a new sheriff.
Get the Young statue ready.
Exactly. Get the Young. Well, I saw some bar already has his jersey. I don't know, it's tongue-in-cheek, but...
Big Tariff.
That's the best nickname ever. Some of this is honestly the Chinese factor. If he was a white China. Guy from Canada... It wouldn't quite be like this, but the Chinese Jokic and the unknown thing, and there's a lot to like, but I would hope, and that's not going to happen because that's not what we do here in Portland. We're just setting ourselves up for a, remember when for like 6 months, everyone was in love with Young Hansen? Well, yeah. We're setting ourselves up for that.
This is what we do.
This is what
Are
we
you
do.
Shocked by this?
No, I'm not, but
come
I'm,
on, man.
I kind of wish in some ways that it was, he wasn't quite as intriguing early, because then maybe it would have given him a little chance to just get his feet wet, as opposed to the expectations of throwing into the deep end. But he seems to be loving it. He's a huge personality, and he's gonna be a rock star here.
I don't know. I think this is the right amount of he's showing just the right amount, because if he were crappy,
yeah,
people would be taking giant dumps on the Blazers, and you know, you can't.
No.
They've already had a lot of those.
Exactly.
So he's showing enough flashes that it keeps that crowd away, but he's also not...
He's not dominant.
He's not... Well, but he's not taking expectations through the roof either.
Kind of.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's perfect. So far, it's perfect. Now, the second he has 20 points and a half, you know...
Yeah.
Next season... Buckle up.
Well, it's like I've tried to watch a lot of it, a lot of his play. It is summer league, so there's only so much I can handle. Like the first game, dude, he missed a three-pointer by like 8 feet, and it banked in. And people were like, he can shoot the three. And then the third game, he actually, I think he went 3 of 6. And, dude, he literally sat in a camp chair, built a little fire, roasted a marshmallow, and then shot the three. Yes, he can knock it down, but there is... That is not an NBA three that you are going to get in that game. And so that's why I'm just...
Knockdown shooter, dude.
I just want everyone...
Keep being a hater. Hey, can I add to your hate?
Just breathe.
So I saw a highlight reel of him, and I will say he moves. I see what they see
in him. It's way better than for someone that you would think from his
size. Dude, he looks like Jokic at times. Yeah. Like, it's like, whoa. Yeah. But the highlight reel that I saw showed a lot of his passing ability.
Yeah.
Those guys were all wide open.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Now, there is awareness.
He did not thread a needle.
No, and some of those passes, they look really nice, but he's playing against non-NBA players. When he did play against Patrick Queen, the kid that came out, the freshman, the Maryland kid, dude.
Derek Quinn. Derek Quinn.
Yeah, he did pay us the money.
Derek Queen, right?
Derek Queen.
Dude.
Not to be confused with Dairy Queen.
Yeah, although the new Superman Blizzard, while that movie sucks, the Superman Blizzard.
What is that?
Delight. It's like a cake batter blizzard.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Wow.
It's the best thing about that movie, because that movie blows. But Queen went at him and cooked him. And, you know, he is going to really struggle defending people, and he's going to pick up a lot of fouls. But this is about 3 years down the road, and there is a ton to like about him. But much like we do every year, we are trying to speed up. We did this with Donovan Klingon last year. Remember Klingon came into Summer League and he was blocking shots and had a couple dunks. And we were like, oh my God, the block lobster. Well, guess what? Donovan Klingon had the definition of a rookie season that was like this. It's all right. Block some shots. Can't play more than 20 minutes. Had like three games that he got people excited, but it was just, you know,
he is just the definition of,
you know, but we do it every year. And with this poor kid, it's more so because he's just this exotic fruit that no one knew anything about. And we're going to go so far over our skis for it that I just feel like, and maybe he does live up to the expectations and blows us all the way, but dude, 12-5 in the summer league should not be like, oh my God, the future of the team is here. No other player that's played in summer league over the last 10 years would have this sort of hype built around, especially the 16th overall
pick. The
era
has become.
You just quit being a hater, okay? And by the way, Damian Lillard's back, so shut up.
There you go.
How about that?
Maybe that'll take some of the edge off, although we won't see Lillard for a year.
That's okay. Well, you might see him. You won't see him play. And that's good.
Yeah.
Rest that Achilles.
Yeah, take the time and...
And rehab it. I
mean, yes.
You know.
But, dude, they...
No reason to rush.
Roll that... Sell some tickets, man. Roll that dude out
there.
Oh,
they will.
At every turn.
Well, dude, I think a lot of people are... Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are going to come back and watch the Blazers now because Lillard's back.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they lost a lot of people when they traded him.
Yes. Again, he is the greatest trailblazer of all time when you consider on and off the court. He was an unbelievable ambassador for this community. He makes his home here. He loves it here. You can tell he didn't want to leave, and I'm glad that him and Cronin were able to sit down and just bury all that crap and bring him back, and he's going to retire here. This, to me, wrongs, I think, one of the great wrongs, which was the breakup, which should have never happened in the first place. That is one thing that I will not temper expectations. I just think that is whatever happens on the basketball court, you said it, it's almost ancillary, right? Because I don't know how much he means to this team a year from now at 36 years old, coming off a torn Achilles, but he's certainly a big addition to it, even if he's at 75% of what he was. But just him coming back and being a part of the team and the community, I really don't care what happens on the court with him. That is a win-win-win across the board. And I think, when's the last time you had a really good day for the Blazer fans? This is a really good day for Blazer fans, and they should embrace it.
All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up the hour with some hot uni news. It is big, I'm telling you. The Pacific Northwest is getting a doozy. That's really all I can say. That's all I signed in NDA. Yeah. Until next segment, on the Fan. All right, it's going a little long. Hi, what are you guys doing?
I'm watching Young Hansen. Duh.
So I was teasing that we've got the best uniform matchup of the 2025 NFL season.
Okay.
And we do. Because on October 5th, it has been announced that your Seattle Seahawks, mm-hmm. our Seattle Seahawks,
yes.
will be doing something for their 50th season game.
Okay.
And October 5th, I don't know what week that is, they will host Tampa Bay.
Giddy the F up.
And that means that both teams will be wearing their throwbacks.
Yeah, that would be October 5th.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah. You said you didn't know what week it was, week five. Of
week five, yeah. Seattle will be wearing their 90s royal blue apple green unis.
Yes.
Which are great.
Yes.
And Tampa will be wearing the 1976 creamsicles.
The Bruce Buckos.
But they will have to wear white. So you won't get the...
Yeah, they're going all white.
Yeah, you won't get the... because the Seahawks are blue.
Yeah.
So they can't wear their...
Yeah, they're going to wear white pants, yeah. The white jersey, the white helmet, and obviously all the creamsicle.
Dude. I'm moving more into the whites.
It will be phenomenal.
That's really...
Yes.
Kick-ass.
And I would state, for the record, whether that is the Chargers, the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, the Eagles, when will we all realize the Patriots?
Broncos?
The Broncos? The throwback... is better than the regular.
The 49ers finally did that. They went to like a dark red and they went back to their original cherry red and they've kept it that way.
Is there any team that when they break out the throwbacks isn't like, oh my God.
Steelers are bad.
Yeah, well, those are the old, yeah. When they
those
go
are
to the,
bad.
Yeah, those are bad.
Where they do the brown helmets. The Packers do that.
The Packers do it. Yeah, because those aren't, I mean, they don't go back to the 70s or 80s. They go back to like 1930.
They go back to leather helmets and they give them brown helmets to look like leather.
But I'm talking when you go back into the 70s and 80s. So again, the Eagles do this when they go to the Kelly Green. The Patriot snapping the football, one of the best looks in all of football. The Buccaneers, I think, has the best uniform. The classic Seahawks, the Kurt Warner Seahawks, Dave Craig, phenomenal. The Chargers, which have kind of done this, they've made the old look their permanent one with the powder blues, looks amazing.
They're trying to go back to a newer old look. They're going back to the all-Navy, like Natron Mean Stan Humphries this year.
Yeah, which, stick with the powder blues. The Niners go with the classic look, phenomenal. I mean, it just, it works.
This raises a question. Do you think that because we all kind of universally love throwbacks?
Yes.
So why don't teams just stick with one thing? Like if we love these old school unis, why not just keep old school uni, or at least because the Steelers kind of have.
Yeah, the Steelers have, the Cowboys have.
There's a few that have, but generally speaking, if every brand just kept that brand over time, we love it more and more. Or do we need it to go away for us to appreciate it coming back?
See, here's the problem. Somewhere in the 90s, we all became morons. And
not me.
This is when we started with...
I became a moron in the 80s.
This is when we say, you know, the Charlotte Hornets and the Carolina Panthers and the Toronto Raptors. Remember the Houston Rockets. We went through some sort of god-awful phase, the Detroit Pistons, where everything had to be edgy and extreme and new. And after a while, it's like, it's time for a refresh.
Yeah, didn't they have the Pistons do like a turquoise flaming horse thing?
Everything had to be turquoise or purple. A lot of people were saying, yeah, it looked terrible. We all went through that.
Every lot of people saying Sacred Heart has died.
Think about all the expansion teams that came out, right? The Vancouver Grizzlies, the San Jose Sharks, the Carolina Panthers, the Florida Marlins, the Tampa Bay Rays. They all had neon bright colors, and it was extreme. And everyone had to go to the new edgy, you know, it's the 90s, man. Pepsi, the choice of a new generation. They changed their stupid can. And I think eventually we all just grew up and we're like, yeah, that all looked really dumb. And yet we're slowly like going back to it, but we're like, we're afraid to commit back.
Did we need it to go away though, in order for it to come back? Because I do feel like there would come a time where it just gets old and stale if you just keep it. Whereas if it goes away and comes back, we're like, ooh.
I think that's the catalyst for the change, is they think we need to just update and refresh and do something new for our fan base, but then it makes you nostalgic for what you had.
Well, and I think there's a difference between updating, like, again, I would look, the Yankees don't change because it's amazing. Now, they may change a slight color or, you know, whatever, but think about some of the best unis, USC, Texas football. If you want to go Yankees, if you want to go Red Sox, you want to go Dallas Cowboys, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, iconic brand, the Lakers, iconic brand, the Blazers for the most part. I know the Blazers have tweaked, but it's for the most part, it stayed. Iconic brands don't need to change because it's not dumb. And when something is great and looks good, you don't need to change it. Which is why the Bronco one might be the one that pisses me off the most. But then they won Super Bowls with the crappy look, and so then they're like, well, now we have to keep it because that's the Super Bowl era. And it's just, it's a bad look. I don't, I don't know anyone that thinks that any of those teams that we mentioned needs a rebrand or a refresh, or any team that had a classic look that went away, the fan base doesn't want it to go back.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm thinking about all the teams you named there, and they're all historic franchises.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is it a chicken in the, like, it's a chicken in the egg thing. Like, do we love their uniforms so much because they've kept them and those franchises are historic?
Or just because we've always been familiar with those franchises?
Yeah. Like, it's, which is it?
It's a good question.
If the Lakers and the Raiders were those exact same uniforms, were the Hornets and the Jaguars, we don't like them.
Probably not.
So their uniforms have become iconic
because of
their teams.
Yeah, I could see that. It is a chicken
and
the egg,
and they've
thing.
Kept them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key. They haven't tweaked it.
Yeah, I just think there's, and I don't mind to tweak every now and then, but some of this stuff we just outthink the room. When you have a great look, just keep it. It works. And when you realize that you've made a mistake, it's like the guy that gets divorced and then realizes it was the worst mistake of his life. If the wife wants you back, maybe go back. Go back. Denver Broncos, I'm looking at you. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Seahawks, for the love of God, the Seahawks have such a good look. No one likes their new crap. It's terrible. Or like, what would they have to do the aggressive Falcon, right? The Atlanta Falcons, they had to rebrand. That was the other one. Not only did you have to come up with extreme colors, but you needed an aggressive look. You know who else I would like to point at? The freaking Oregon State Beavers and your stupid beaver shark. I guarantee if you looked back at the announcement when they changed that, I promise you that somewhere in the announcement, they talk about an aggressive, forward, like thinking.
Progressive, sleek. Yeah.
Modern. It's a beaver for a new generation.
Yeah.
An aggressively stanced beaver. Remember the Seahawk? They changed the eye to be an angry eye so that it was scowling at you because we got to be rough and tough. Like, arr. It's so dumb. Bring back Benny the Beaver. Put the damn sailor hat on him. It's what everyone wants. It just looks better.
All right. Circle your calendars. October 5th. Tampa Bay, Seattle, both wearing kick-ass throwbacks. It's going to be awesome.
And by the way, text program is right. The worst travesty going in the NFL right now, the Tennessee Titans. Because those uniforms are indeed ass. And they are sitting on a top three uniform, and that's the old Oilers uniform.
Can they use the old Oilers?
It's theirs, yes.
Why don't they? Why'd they change that?
Because, again, they had to go to Tennessee and come up with a new aggressive. And even if you want to stay the Titans, fine. But use the Oiler colors and the template. You own it. You took it with you from Houston. No one likes the. Have you ever seen a Tennessee Titan gear, like a piece of merch outside of the state of Tennessee?
No.
No, because it's terrible. You know what looks great? The old Houston Oilers with the red face mask and the blue. It's good.
All right. Coming up next, Caught Coldplay handed.
Da.
Da. On the Fan.